Panthers camp. Today's day two of pads.
Yeah.
And you know what? I got five things. I gave five things yesterday about training camp. I'm looking forward. But here's five more things about the Carolina Panthers that I want to see as this preseason continues and progresses. So first thing on that, Victoria.
Yes.
We got into a discussion yesterday about depth, especially on defense. And honestly, there really wasn't a whole lot of depth at linebacker behind Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvin in terms of off-ball linebackers in the interior of the defense. Well, yeah. the Panthers addressed that yesterday. So check this one off.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina Panthers worked out yesterday and signed Deion Jones at linebacker, again, providing depth with Shaq Thompson and Frankie Louvin. I think it's a solid signing. He was a Pro Bowl player early in his career with Atlanta, with the Falcons. 28 years old, got traded during the season last year to the Cleveland Browns. Got a little bit nicked up. Production wasn't quite there. But one thing that we saw earlier in his career, really solid in pass coverage, which this is kind of the evolution. We talk about how, like, running backs sometimes get devalued. I think actually off-ball linebackers sometimes are actually devalued nowadays because if you're not great in coverage, a lot of teams really aren't looking for you. You don't need that run-stuffing, you know, like back in the day, like the neck roll Zach Thomas. Mm-hmm. You know, you need guys that are versatile. Yeah, you want them to be effective against the run, but you got to have guys that can cover in space, especially tight ends running down the middle of the field or backs coming out of the backfield. Inside linebackers have to have the speed to do that. It's actually interesting. You see off-ball linebackers have gotten smaller.
Yeah.
Over time. Like, you can see guys that may, in like a 4-3 defense that play on the weak side of the defense off the ball. Some of them are like just 220 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honestly, a lot of them are Jeremy Chinn size.
Yeah.
Like 6'3", 220, 225. That's where you see a lot of weak side linebackers actually playing now. Guys that are off the ball. So that's how that position has evolved over the years. We don't really see a lot of great inside linebackers nowadays. Far gone are the days of Ray Lewis and Brian Urlacher.
Yeah.
Those days are far gone. But now we see guys that have to be good in coverage because this is a pass-first league. So we saw that early in his career, especially in Atlanta, Deion Jones. He has 5 interceptions in his career, which is pretty solid for an inside linebacker. So hopefully, is he the player that he was when he was 23 years old, 24 years old, when he was making a Pro Bowl? No, he's probably not that. But he provides depth behind Frankie Louvin and Shaq Thompson in case there is an injury. But also just gives you more options.
Yeah.
That's really it. Because we talked about yesterday, the Carolina Panthers need to find somebody opposite of Brian Burns in terms of an edge rusher. Well, now you can get fancy with it. You wanted more trickery and fancy, Victoria.
I do.
Something that you said yesterday.
I do.
Okay, well, maybe this gives you the option of moving Frankie Louvin up towards the line of scrimmage now on certain situations. You can bring Deion Jones in. So it gives you a little bit more flexibility, a little bit more versatility.
Sneaky. We got to be sneaky with this stuff.
Sneaky.
You got to be one step ahead.
So a veteran player who still has something left to give out there for the Carolina Panthers, again, providing depth for the team. All right, so that's number one. Let's go to number two. Something I'm looking to continue to see from the Carolina Panthers and Bryce Young. The veterans that were brought in on offense to help Bryce Young before he was even drafted. The signings of Thielen, Chark, Hayden Hurst, bringing in Miles Sanders, but just the offensive staff that was put around. It was like, whoever this rookie quarterback is, they put a pretty good infrastructure around them.
Yeah.
And also the key piece in that as well, Victoria, you and I were talking off air before the show started.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton.
Huge.
Like, the interaction between Dalton and Bryce Young, we don't necessarily see all of it because we just see what's during practice on the field, and that's it.
Yeah,
that's
and plus it's all about Bryce, too, so they're just going to show Bryce as much as possible.
Well, for
which
sure.
Is fine.
But we don't hear the conversations the two of them are having. We don't hear or see the conversations they're having in meeting rooms or when they're watching tape and all those kinds of things. Just teaching him how to be a professional, things to look for. And
I wish they did show that more often. I would like to see how he's shaping him.
Yeah.
Or the advice he's given. Now, me personally, I wish Cam was giving him this advice because I love Cam Newton, but, you know, they didn't bring him back. So.
No. It's,
again.
That's a different conversation. Unfortunately, I think Cam's career is done. It's sad as it is. I just.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. That's something we definitely get into at a later point. But my point is this. these guys were brought in, especially a guy like Thielen. Thielen not only helps out Bryce Young, but he also helps out the young receivers that the Carolina Panthers have as well. He's helped Terrace Marshall Jr. Helps Jonathan Mingo. Helps Shai Smith. Guys who are rookie, second, third-year players. DJ Chark. He's still younger in his career, but he's been around for about 5 years. He's experienced some different stuff. Played in a couple different systems, Jacksonville, Detroit. So these veteran guys that are brought in to help Bryce Young, I want to see that continue to grow. And speaking of the benefit of having veteran players, Bryce Young yesterday talked to the media after practice. This is what Bryce Young had to say about having a veteran player like Adam Thielen.
You know, having someone like Adam, obviously, who's done it for a long time, had a lot of success, and is a real pro, you know, is super consistent. And, you know, again, he's seen it all. And, you know, for me as a young guy, having a safety net like that where you know exactly where he's going to be, he understands the play, he understands the full play design, he's always where he's supposed to be. That's really important for me. It's helped me a lot. And, you know, he's the one getting open. So for me, it's just on me to find him and get him the ball, and he's doing all the hard work.
Now, something else as well that we are seeing is the relationship and chemistry that's being built up early between Bryce Young and DJ Chark. Here's Frank Reich, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, on that chemistry and that connection that Bryce Young and DJ are having.
I am excited that it's happening. You're exactly right, Joe. I mean, it seems like they do connect every practice. You got two really smart players. DJ's a really smart player, very savvy and instinctive, and then he's got the speed to go with it. And I think, you know, Bryce obviously same way. And, you know, I think that's looked good. We're excited about that.
So that's exciting if you're Carolina Panthers. I'm not quite as bullish on the receiving corps as a whole that a lot of people are. Because here's my thing with the receiving corps is that Adam Thielen never really has been a number one in his career.
No.
He's a very good player. Do not get me wrong. Yeah. He's had a solid career, but he's never been a number one. So he's never been matched up against a top corner all the time because he's played alongside Justin Jefferson recent years. And before that, Stephon Diggs for a long, long time. So he's never had that matchup. DJ Chark, when he's healthy, has been really, really good. But the last time he was actually healthy for a full season was 2019 in Jacksonville. And I know a lot of Carolina Panthers fans that saw him when Detroit came into Carolina last year put up some pretty big numbers against the Panthers last season, but he's been injury-ridden. So that's the thing. Okay, are you going to stay healthy this season? Because that dude could stretch the field. That's no, I mean, that is unquestionable.
Yeah.
But can he stay on the field? And then Jonathan Mingo as a rookie, he's a rookie. You just don't know. He could pop off for 1,000 yards this season. If he develops, great. Awesome. But it wouldn't surprise me as well if that he ends up being the number 4 or 5 receiver just because, again, development. You just don't know. Terrace Marshall Jr., all right, you're, according to Pro Football Focus, you're one of the highest rated wide receivers last season in terms of go routes. Can you run more than just go routes? Can you develop, like, use that big body that you have as well? Can you be more than just a guy that runs go routes?
Please.
And then you got to throw in guys like Shai Smith as well. Like, how do you develop as a slot receiver? And then Laviska Shenault. How is he going to be used this season? So, again, I have a lot of question marks. Not saying that this receiving corps is terrible or it's bad, but I have question marks.
Yeah,
I just have questions about them moving forward. Not saying they can't be good.
Well, and, you know, we would have had those question marks regardless of the staff, whether we had the same staff. Thank goodness we have a new staff.
Yes.
But now that we do have a new staff, we definitely have question marks because what are they going to do now? So that's what's intriguing.
So there are questions. Not saying they can't be good, but I just have more questions going into the season than some might have.
Right.
All right, let's go on to number three here. Talking about Bryce Young interceptions, right? He's thrown a few in practice. It's okay. That's all I'm going to say. It's fine. It's okay if he throws some interceptions during training camp.
Sure.
The important thing is that he learns from them, grows, doesn't repeat the mistakes multiple times, and he tests his limits. That's what a lot of training camp is. It's like, all right, can I do this? Can I make this work?
Yeah.
Like, all right, I think I see someone open. Where can I place the ball in order to make sure my guy can get it?
And it's very cliche, but you have to be uncomfortable. You have to make yourself be uncomfortable so you can grow. So, it's uncomfortable to throw an interception, especially with all the cameras and people and fans and whatnot around you. But you need to do that because when it counts in a game, we want you to actually connect with your receivers. So mess up now, Bryce.
Yeah, it's okay.
Get it out now. Yeah, I don't want to see it at Bank of America.
So we're seeing people tweeting out from practice today, some different stuff regarding that. But we're seeing how Bryce Young, apparently in the 7v7 red zone drill that they had,
yeah,
went 3 for 4, 3 touchdowns. The only incompletion was a drop.
Nice.
So,
I'll take it.
There we go, folks.
I'll take it.
Let's go.
Yeah, Super Bowl ready. Let's go.
All right, the fourth thing, and a very important one.
Yes.
Building your identity as a franchise.
Please.
This is a total reset this offseason.
Yeah.
A total reset from new coaching staff. There's a couple guys retained, but it's a new coaching staff. You brought in a new quarterback. You traded up for your franchise guy. Let's find an identity for this franchise.
Yeah.
Who are you moving forward? That's the big question mark. Because under Matt Rhule, under that guy, mm-hmm. he who shall not be named.
Right, yeah.
There was no identity.
None.
There was no identity of this team. Now, when Steve Wilks took over last season, that keep pounding mentality came back. And guess what happened? Oh, this team had an identity and they actually had success.
Yeah.
You know, they almost made the playoffs last season.
Well, and he was trying to build an identity with, you know, heavy defense and, you know, running the ball more.
Yeah.
So there was that. But now with the new staff, are we going to lean more offensively this time? I mean, we have a great defense, but it's even that. Like, what are we going to do on the offense if we are more offensive with it? I have so many questions.
I look at identity more than just what your schematic, like what your schemes are on the field.
Sure.
Yeah, because that oftentimes is just dictated by your personnel.
Yeah.
I'm looking at it from the mindset of, all right, for example, like the staple franchise a lot of people use is the Pittsburgh Steelers. What are they known for? Stability, blue-collar work ethic.
Yeah.
That's it. Stability, blue-collar work ethic. Look at the Baltimore Ravens. Tough, hard-nosed, physical. Even that team with Lamar Jackson at quarterback.
Yeah.
Like, it's still tough, hard-nosed, physical football. That's what they're known for. That's their identity, right? So that is something that you got to keep in mind when it comes to forming an identity. It's who are you as a team as a whole? Not what your, just what your scheme is.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, like, for example, Pittsburgh's known for consistently having a 3-4 defensive scheme. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's just their identity as a franchise. I'm like, what's your identity now as a franchise moving forward?
Yeah.
Find that, develop your culture. Prime example, we look here in the state of North Carolina, look at the last 5 years under Rob Brindamore of the Carolina Hurricanes.
Mm-hmm.
That's an identity of a franchise in terms of work ethic, how their style of play, whatever it is, like that is ingrained in the culture of the team.
Yeah, always that the underdog, but showing up.
Exactly. That's something I want to see the Carolina Panthers truly form and develop as the season goes forward. And final thing, number 5, real quick, just stay healthy.
Please.
I haven't seen anything major today in terms of injuries. I know Bryce Young is actually already talking at the podium after practice, which is good, which means he's healthy.
Right.
Bryce Young's healthy, and that's all that matters. All right, let's move on here. ACC preseason poll. So those are the 5 things from Carolina Panthers training camp moving
forward. I like it. Let's keep number 5 in mind, please.
Yes, always keep number 5 in
mind.
Yes,
please.
All right, ACC preseason poll is here. Team picked to finish number one overall. School picked finish number 1, Clemson.
Oh, what a shock.
What? But here's the thing. They got 103 first place votes. Florida State number 2.
Oh.
67. First place votes.
Interesting.
For Florida State. Not surprised that Florida State's number 2, but this is a lot tighter of a vote than in years past. A lot of people are pretty bullish on Florida State. Understandable. What they've built down there in Tallahassee, building back up from the doldrums of what they were just a few seasons ago. Jordan Travis at quarterback. There's a question at quarterback in terms of Cade Klubnik. A lot of people think that he's the next guy for Clemson, but we haven't fully seen it yet. Mm-hmm. We anticipate it, but we haven't fully seen it yet. Jordan Travis, we know, is a special playmaker. Picked 3rd with 5 first place votes. UNC.
Oh, look at us.
That makes sense.
In the triangle.
That makes sense.
Yeah, no, it does.
They was picked to finish 4th in the league with 1 first place vote. I'm curious who this one is. NC State.
Just 1.
NC State picked to finish 4th in the league, followed by Miami. Tied for 6th was Duke and Pitt. Louisville 8, Wake Forest 9, Syracuse, Virginia Tech, Georgia Tech, Boston College, and then Virginia, the bottom five teams in the conference. All right, so I'm going to give you what I voted for. I'm going to give you my top picks here in terms of the ACC. I picked Clemson number one.
Yeah.
I'm going to steal a line from Ric Flair. To be the man, you got to beat the man.
Sure.
And last time I checked, Clemson still runs this conference.
Which, Ric Flair was at GalaxyCon.
Yes, he was.
This weekend.
I walked by him multiple times.
He was in Raleigh.
I was walked by him multiple times. I picked Florida State to finish number two. I think they've really built something solid down there. I picked Carolina three. I'm staying in track. I'm staying in track right here.
Yeah.
I picked Duke. This is where things get really tricky. I think Clemson, Florida State, Carolina is a pretty solid 1-2-3. I think a lot of people had that and reflects, obviously, here in the voting. But when you get, like, 4-9 in the ACC...
Toss-up.
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Wake Forest was picked to finish 9th overall. If Wake Forest finished 4th in the ACC this season,
wouldn't be shocked. Yeah.
Wouldn't shock me a bit.
Nope.
NC State was picked to finish 4th. If they finished 9th this season in the ACC, would not shock me either. So my fourth team actually went with Duke because of all the returners that they have coming back. I know their schedule is a lot harder this season because they do have to play Clemson. They still got to play Carolina and NC State. Their schedule is a lot more difficult. I think a lot of people are overlooking Duke this upcoming season. I picked Louisville actually to finish number five. This is a really, really tight vote for me. I picked Louisville to finish number five because of the transfers that Jeff Brohm has brought in to Louisville. I think some people might be sleeping a little bit on Louisville because they were picked to finish 8th. I know they lost Malik Cunningham, who's now in the NFL. But to me, I think it works out for them to potentially finish number 5. Again, if they finished 9th, wouldn't be shocked either as well. Yeah. And I had NC State finishing 6th in the conference. I'm really excited to see what their offense does with Robert and I and Brennan Armstrong coming in. Brennan Armstrong in Virginia last season, who didn't have Robert and I as his offensive coordinator, struggled mightily last season. It was also just a bad year overall for Virginia, and just obviously the tragic ending to their season with the death of three of their players. But it was just a down year for Brennan Armstrong. Can he in his last season of college football, can he revive and recreate what he had in 2020 and 2021 with Robert and I as his offensive coordinator? I had Pitt 7 and then Wake Forest 8 and then Miami 9. I picked Miami 9 because you know what? Miami, the U, until you prove something otherwise, I ain't picking you to finish high.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. You ain't back until you back.
Yeah.
That's all I'm going to say. You ain't back until you back.
Yeah.
And right now, they ain't back. All right. Let's switch over to a little... I mean, it's the Adam Gold Show. I have to talk soccer, right?
Of course.
Dennis Cox sitting in for Adam Gold today. The U.S. Women's National Team this morning escaped with a draw against Portugal. I woke up this morning and watched it on replay. I avoided any of the spoilers in terms of, like, I made sure I got no notifications of the score of the game, anything like that. Well, I was sweating bullets. So I was like, wait, hold on a sec. Are we advancing to the round of 16? Because had they lost that game 1-0 and Portugal had some chances late, the U.S. would not be in the World Cup anymore. They would have gotten knocked out.
Yeah.
Now, granted, if they had won the game just because the Netherlands crushed Vietnam 7-0 based off goal differential, I don't think U.S. would have won their group because after you go points, it goes to goal differential. But Carly Lloyd, former U.S. Women's National Team captain, now covering the World Cup for Fox Sports, she didn't hold back with her criticisms of the U.S. team.
I have never witnessed, and just seeing these images for the first time right now on the desk, I have never witnessed something like that. There's a difference between being respectful of the fans and saying hello to your family, but to be dancing, to be smiling. I mean, the player of the match was that post. You're lucky to not be going home right now.
What she's referring to is that Portugal late in the game, late in the second half, had a clear scoring opportunity. I forget the player's name. My apologies on that. Takes a shot, gets past the goalkeeper, and it hits off the post and comes back out.
Wow.
Like, literally, if you're talking like 2 inches to the left,
way
the
too
shot,
close for comfort.
It's posting in. And guess what? Portugal's moving on. U.S. is done.
Yeah.
She even said, Carly Lloyd said, I'm just seeing a very lackluster, uninspiring, taking it for granted where winning and training and doing all that you can to be the best possible individual player is not happening. She did not hold back.
No.
I don't think it's off base. I really don't. I haven't watched the game. I was like, yeah, it was kind of a lackluster performance. I expected better. If you go back to the game against the Netherlands, when the U.S. was trailing 1-0, saw Lindsey Horan get fouled by a Netherlands player. And then after she got up, because it was a pretty hard tackle from the side, she gets up. There's a corner kick about to happen. She gets up in that girl's face, shoves her, and like just gets up in her face. And you'd tell that she was ticked off. Guess what? Immediately on that corner, she scores the header. And you know what showed me? It's like, and then from after that, the U.S. just controlled the game. Now, they didn't get the win, but they controlled that game. But like, that was inspired play. And again, they controlled the match moving forward. Also, much of the World Cup, I think much of the world in women's soccer, has just kind of caught up to the United States as a whole. Like, there's a lot of other countries now that are putting resources and money into women's soccer where they haven't in the past. I'm not saying this U.S. women's national team is bad or the individuals are bad. They're just not, also just not as good of a team as they were 40 years ago. Just not.
¿No se merece tu familia lo mejor? Entonces, ¿por qué no los mejores huevos? Ahora, Eggland's Best están disponibles en deliciosas opciones. Huevos clásicos, de gallina libre de jaula y orgánicos de Eggland's, que ofrecen un sabor más delicioso y fresco de granja que le encantará a tu familia. En comparación con los huevos ordinarios, Eggland's Best contiene la mejor nutrición, como 6 veces más vitamina D, 10 veces más vitamina E y el doble de omega 3 y B12. Solo Eggland's Best. Mejor sabor, mejor nutrición, mejores huevos. Visita egglandsbest.com para más información.
There are more identity threats than you realize. Even if you monitor your credit, only a little personal info needs to leak out. Like your social security number or password.
Or you to become a victim.
LifeLock alerts you to threats you could miss. If your identity is stolen, a dedicated U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions, but everyone can save up to 25% off their first year. Go to LifeLock.com/aware.
You have some aging players who aren't adding much on the field right now. Like Megan Rapinoe didn't even play against the Netherlands. She came in late in the game against Vietnam and late in the game against Portugal. Alex Morgan isn't really doing a whole lot, really isn't creating a whole lot of opportunities up front. And a lot of their young players didn't really get a lot of international experience at a young age due to COVID. This is something we got to keep in mind. Like Sophia Smith, Emily Fox, these are players that are 22, 23 years old. They got some young players playing on the U.S. women's national team that are really, really young. They're good. They're talented. But they didn't get the international experience in international friendlies back in 2020 and 2021 because these matches really just weren't being played because of COVID.
Yeah.
So they didn't get that international experience. Whereas, you know, like, for example, if Megan Rapinoe or somebody like that or Alex Morgan wasn't playing, okay, well, this is where Trinity Robin, who's 20 years old, would have gotten a lot of those reps, would have gotten a lot of that that international experience. But we don't have that. Plus, you also tack in or, you know, factor in that some injuries, Sam Mewis not playing. Mallory Swanson, formerly Mallory Pugh, she's not playing either. These are some of the top players in the U.S. women's national team that aren't playing because of injury. So those are all things to keep in mind as well. But they are into the round of 16. Going to channel my inner Jim Valvano, survive in advance, yep. Right? They got to play Sweden, I think, in the round 16. I think he's ranked third in the world.
Wow.
Not the easiest thing to do.
No.
Also, real quick, Major League Baseball trade deadline is today. Here's the proposed trade that I have. I want the Tampa Bay Rays to trade for Shohei Ohtani and then send him down, air quotes, on a rehab assignment to Durham because we're located here in the Triangle because I want to see Shohei Ohtani in person play in the Durham Bulls.
Me too.
Play. I want an Ohtani Durham Bulls uniform.
I would buy that shirt.
That would sell.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? Like, you couldn't print those jerseys. You couldn't make those jerseys fast enough.
Nope.
I want it to happen.
You put the Durham Bull on there and then Ohtani somewhere.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, that thing would be the top-selling jersey in the world right now.
Done.
You will fail. So what? Everybody does. But your gym, your watch, your yoga pants, they pretend you won't. So when you miss a day, eat the pancakes. Give up on a workout? You failed? Seriously, what the hell? We're BODi. We've been a part of that too, but not anymore. At BODi, we're rejecting perfection and embracing reality. Not in a Pizza Monday kind of way, in a loving your whole life kind of way. In a, this workout is fun, and it's okay if I take a week off kind of way. In an, I'm eating healthy, and it's okay if I indulge kind of way. In a, I like myself no matter what kind of way. Yeah, you will fail. We all will. But We're not going to let that be the end. You see that? We're already making progress. So let's keep going. We are BODi. Start your free trial at BODi.com. That's BODi.com.